Hello.
This is Yusuf.
And Genoa, and this is
In-Flight Entertainment. Hello, everyone in podcast land. Hope everyone is enjoying their week. This is a very special edition podcast that we're popping off, and Genoa's going to explain what we're going to do.
Yeah, so we had a little Facebook post, and we took a survey, and wanted to find out what were some of the old school movies that you wanted to hear. And so we have that list, but we first wanted to start with movies that we've mentioned in some of our other reviews. So our first movie is
A Thing Called Love. Amore. 1993 release. It stars
River Phoenix, Samantha Mathis, Dermot Mulroney, sorry, a little tongue twister there, and Sandra Bullock.
Yes.
One of her early movies.
Yes, one of her early movies. And I think we landed on Demolition Man Bullock.
Yeah.
So yeah. I believe she released this before
Demolition Man.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then Speed. So yeah. So this is pre-Sandra Bullock.
Yeah. And for everyone wondering what that clicking is, that's my dog walking around in the background.
Heidi holding it down.
Sit.
On security, protecting us from the hostile forces that are trying to tear down this lovely podcast. So Heidi is holding it down, making sure we're safe.
Yes.
That's right.
And then, before we get into the review, I had a flight attendant call me out on something.
Oh, flight stories. Yes. Do tell.
Her name's Michelle, and I'm actually going to call her out on this.
Okay.
But she was not happy that I say that the flight attendants are interrupting me watching movies.
Not good. Very good. Well,
I mean, they are interrupting, but they're also doing their jobs.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, so you want to do kind of a retraction on the...
I appreciate them doing their jobs and making sure I have beverages and everything.
Okay.
But, I mean, it is sort of the nature of being on a plane that you are going to be interrupted.
Right.
So, which is why we've selected movies to review based on being interrupted. It's not necessarily a good or a bad thing. It's just the nature of flying.
Right. So, that's the genesis of this podcast.
Right.
So you can maneuver through the flight attendants doing their job, so you can enjoy the movies. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so...
It is the nature of being on the plane and everything, and I appreciate that, but... We are, I'm reviewing movies from a realistic basis. It's
exactly.
Not anything good or bad.
Right.
It's just the nature of flying.
Exactly.
Sometimes a flight attendant will interrupt you,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes your neighbor might ask to get up to go to the restroom.
Repeatedly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or, like my last flight, someone might kick your seat the entire time. So
was it a kid or grown up?
Grown up.
Mm, that's the worst.
Yeah, they should know better.
Oh, goodness. Oh, that's bad.
Yeah.
I could kind of excuse kids, but grown-ups, like, come on, man. Ma'am.
Yeah, you don't want your chair kicked. Why would you do that to the person in front of you?
Yeah, it's just so inconsiderate. I'm sorry. See, but that's why we are giving you all of these films.
Right.
That you can watch and maybe be a pleasant distraction from these grown adults that shouldn't be kicking seats but do otherwise. So that was your trip back from
Dallas?
Dallas?
Okay. Yeah.
All right, cool. The Dallas trip. Okay, cool. Okay, well, let me ask you this. So, from your flights coast to coast, I guess the passengers are, which passenger, like group of passengers coming from certain cities that is like, oh wow, I'm flying out this city, all the passengers are going to be a nightmare. Like, the bulk of these people are going to be horrible.
I have to say it has nothing to do with the city.
Uh-huh.
It has to do more with whether or not people are used to flying or not used to flying. So when you have around holidays, when you have people that maybe only fly once a year, like this past week was spring break. So you have a lot of people going on spring break that maybe it's one of two trips that they take the entire year.
Mm-hmm.
Them trying to figure out, does my bag fit in the overhead? Like that right there.
Yeah.
Or not knowing that you're not supposed to get up at certain times during a flight.
Mm-hmm.
There was one of my flights this past week, we landed and people automatically got up and started using the restroom, even though we weren't at the gate. And then we were still out on the tarmac, and like the flight attendants were freaking out.
Yeah.
So it's just like that. It's not not the city. It's more with like
the people. Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good answer. Good answer. Good answer. Good answer.
I'm not calling out any cities.
Exactly.
No.
Good answer. Good answer. Very tactful.
But you can easily tell who are the frequent flyers and who are not.
Yeah. The novice and the pros.
Yeah.
Cool. So getting back to this 1993 gym.
Yes, A Thing Called Love.
Yeah.
So for those of you that don't remember, we actually referenced this when we were reviewing A Star Is Born.
Mm-hmm.
And I said that this was a better movie than that. So
now we're going to talk about why this 1993 gym deserves more praise than the 2018
Star is Born.
Yes. Do you want to run down the synopsis of...
I mean, the IMDb description is super... It's one sentence.
Okay.
A group of newcomers to the country music business seek love and stardom, which I feel like is a really crappy way to describe that movie because it's so much more than that.
Exactly.
It's about...
So the main character that we follow, the actress Samantha Mathis.
Right.
Yeah. So we follow in her journey. She's the main character.
Right. Her name is Miranda Presley. Related to Presley. which she says throughout the movie.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Who comes in from New York?
Yep.
If I'm not mistaken.
Into Nashville. And she writes songs and is trying to be discovered as a songwriter, not as a musician necessarily.
And everyone goes to this particular place. It's renowned. You have to go here. If they pick you, you know, to be a headliner, then you pretty much like
right. You perform your songs for the bar owner early in the day, and then Saturday night you actually are featured.
Right.
If you're chosen,
yes.
And then that is where your music writing skills can be discovered.
Exactly.
So
right.
Then. All these people have come to Nashville to be discovered for their writing and have someone buy their music.
Exactly. Right.
And Miss Presley has come down from New York to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, we see her come in. General was saying, when they come in, they do kind of like a sample song, you know, for the bar owner to listen to. And then once she go through all of the people during the song, she cherry picked the ones that she thought was good and is worthy of a spotlight. So of course, first passing, she don't make the cut.
Right. Well, right. She's a city girl. She's a New York.
Right. She got to learn.
Girl.
She got to learn.
She does not know
first.
Country.
Exactly. New York City.
Right.
I was just hoping someone meant to say that, you know. But I didn't get it. But I still love the video. You know, I was waiting for somebody to say, New York City. Yeah. So, and then from there, we meet. James.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We meet James.
They have a meet cute in the parking lot.
Yes. Oh yes. Oh yes. It was cute. It was actually cute. Yeah. It wasn't an eye roll like first encounter like a
right. Yeah. It felt sort of real.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. This could happen.
Yes.
Then we also meet Dermot Maroney.
Mm-hmm.
Who is another singer-songwriter that is trying to perform.
Right.
And also Sandra Bullock's character, Linda Lou Linder.
And all of her perky Sandra Bullockness.
Yeah. Which, okay, so I found it very cute that her story arc in this movie was that she went to become Miss Nashville or try out for Miss Nashville or Miss Tennessee or something. I was like, aw. It's,
of course.
It's like foreshadowing her future movie, her Miss Congeniality.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Good, and, good dive there. Good dive.
And I think even in Miss Congeniality, she was in the final five. She didn't win. She won Miss Congeniality.
Yeah, she won.
She didn't win, but okay. She was in the final five.
Right.
And in A Thing Called Love, she was in the final five also.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Nice. Good breakdown. See, I'm glad we decided to do this. Now we can connect the dots from these movies from back then
right.
to now. It's like, oh, okay. This is kind of a Nostradamus-type situation. Like, we're cracking codes of movies.
Were totally foreshadowing her future movie
wow.
choices, yeah.
Wow. The Oracle's in Hollywood somewhere. That's awesome. Yeah, and so, okay, so they befriend, so Linda befriends
Presley.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in a cute way, because, like, Presley was, I guess, running low on money, and so Linda's like, hey, you know, I have this motel room, this big old motel room. Like, just come stay with me. Yeah, come stay with me.
It feels so very Southern to me in that everyone's so friendly. Just move in with me. We'll be friends.
The Southern hospitality is so nice. And then from there, we start to see, Presley's, the difference to me, Stars Born it is, because Presley, we see that she's there for a purpose, a goal. Like, nothing was deterring that. Like, you always felt that she was there to do what she got off the bus to do.
Right.
Yeah.
Her life goal was to become a writer.
Right. Yeah. Despite meeting guys or the other characters,
yeah.
It never was like, oh well, she wasn't really serious about why she
right.
did. It was still like
this was her dream, and she was going after it.
Exactly.
She wasn't. She was going to do what she can to achieve it.
Yeah. I mean. Which I thought, which I thought Star Wars, but we ain't gonna get it now.
We won't go back.
And then we find ourselves in kind of a triangle.
A love triangle, yeah.
Yeah.
Between James, Kyle, and Miranda. So that's River Phoenix, Samantha, and Dermot.
Right, because Kyle had the...
He's like a sweet Southern boy.
Yeah.
So nice.
Yeah. And James is kind of like the rebel bad boy. We wasn't necessarily a bad boy. We just kind of,
He was your lead singer, musician, bad boy.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't slapping people up. He was just... He just had that attitude. Like,
He was not emotionally available. And she obviously found that very attractive because she had daddy issues.
Yep. In the meantime, the good guy's like chasing behind her, like, hey, I'm here. Hi.
I'll do anything to make you happy.
You know what I thought? Like, while I was thinking about this, it was almost like you were watching living personifications of a song. You know, like, these three characters kind of represented elements of a love song.
I mean, and that's why they picked the songs they did for the movie, because they have the Patti Loveless song that James was supposed to have written in the movie that I can't think of right now. And then also they have... So there's a scene where Miranda is on the bus going back to New York after having her heart broken.
Right.
And they do a Trisha Yearwood, Don Henley song that is just the perfect, like...
Yeah.
And I will think of the songs in a second. But...
Yeah, but the music, actually, sidebar, the music choices were really good, and it really fit the narrative of the movie. It wasn't... All the songs didn't feel out of place. Like, all the songs that you heard coming out of the singers, even just the score, which is scenic stuff.
Right. The Trisha Yearwood song is Walk Away Joe.
Walk Away Joe, yes.
Yeah, which is a beautiful song. I know country is sort of some people love it, some people hate it, but the songs that they picked for this yeah. movie, although they were all country, are really,
they're really
good country songs.
I mean, and this is coming from, you know, I mean, to me, there's no such thing as bad music, just bad artists. That's my thing, you know. I can listen to a country song and like, oh, that was a good country song, you know. Some people are like, oh, I don't like country music. I'm like, well, you don't like music because you can like music. You can just not have a taste for specific artists. Well, that's my opinion.
Right.
But, yeah, no, but the fact that these were country songs didn't take me out of the movie experience. Actually, it sucked me in more because it was genuine for these characters and what they were telling
right.
coming out of it represented them. So I invested more in the characters, one, through their, you know, dramatic journey, and two, through the songs that was coming out of them, you know. So I really thought it was, you know,
yeah,
it had a lot of layers.
The Patti Loveless song is Blame It On Your Heart. The fact that like that song's played throughout the movie, and that it really defines the relationship between James and Miranda the entire time.
Exactly. So. Yeah. And also, we were talking about this before the podcast started. The director, Peter Bogdanovich. Peter Bogdanovich. He directed. What was it? The 71 was
The streetcar.
No.
1 second.
It was the 70 something.
Yeah.
We're
having senior moments, guys. Sorry. And I had lost my saved page.
What's the last picture show.
Last picture show.
Yes.
And so, then Mask.
Then Mask, right?
The one with Cher, not.
Yeah, not the Jim Carrey one. Yeah, so he did Mass with Cher, Eric Stoltz, and Sam Elliott. Yeah, and then that was 85. No, 80. No, 80. 85 was Mask. And he's done other films. Getting up to A Thing Called Love in 93.
Right.
But we were just talking about how, I guess, diverse his movies are, you know, like,
yeah, I mean, he's definitely about character development.
Yeah, totally.
So you feel that a lot. And this was, I mean, A Thing Called Love is also one of those weird movies where it's the end of the 80s where you had all these movies that used music as the soundtrack to what was happening in them, like The Big Chill and Breakfast Club.
Yeah.
And in the 90s where people started walking away from that, but this still sort of has that essence to it, and it's using the music to help tell the character stories and move things along, but using country music instead of pop.
Yeah, which I respected. And, okay, so further into the story of Presley, her and James start getting lovey-dovey.
Mm-hmm.
Lovey-dovey to the point where they get married.
Right.
They get hitched. And all of the marital misadventures ensues. So he goes...
He escapes to go record his record.
Yeah, just getting away from it all.
And then he realizes that he needs her with him and runs back to...
But too little too late.
Because she's already gone back to New York.
Exactly.
And then that's where she's inspired to write her song about God.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe God's a woman or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Which totally remind me of the Joan Osborne song.
Oh, well, God's one of us.
Yes. Which I was trying to look that up on when that came out. I hated that song. Which that song came out in 95. So maybe she was inspired by this movie.
Yeah. You know, like I said, Thing Called Love is putting its hands on a lot of things after that. After, you know, the movie, which is cool. And I would like, and also to highlight this film, I thought was really cool and really unique. The cinematographer name is Peter James. And when I was watching this film, I was noticing there's a lot of one-shot scenes is a lot. It's not a lot of editing. It's a lot of one-shot scenes. So almost the fluidity of the dialogue wasn't compromised by cuts. So those arguments were genuine. It was like the back and forth was more
authentic.
Yeah, a little more authentic because the cameras kind of was just staying on them, just bantering and like arguing and leaving the room, coming back, you know, talking crap to each other, something like that. And the
it was sort of filmed in a way as if it was a stage play.
Yeah,
so that,
felt like a play, which was good. I mean, like it kept the energy of the actors doing their thing.
Well, I mean, I also feel like they cast Samantha Manthes for River Phoenix because she's totally his type, because if you see some, if you go back some of his other movies, they tend to cast that type of woman across from him a lot of times.
It works. It worked. Yeah, perfect.
So I mean, they had good chemistry and fighting and loving and,
and that's what I noticed. You know, when I watched, actually the second time I watched it, I was just like, wait a minute, like, and then when the scene go off, I'm like, wait a minute, there wasn't any cuts in that scene. You know, I go back like, yeah, that was like a one-take scene. Like, okay, like, that's pretty cool. Yeah. Just like the barbershop. Was it the barbershop or the hair salon scene?
Barbershop.
The barbershop scene. That was a one. That was a one-take scene. Like, there was no cuts in that scene. And, yeah, it's like, when done right, it works really well. And I really have to highlight that. I mean, well, sorry, I'm going film geek. Sorry. But that's something to look at, you know, if you guys want to see how actors act in, like, a one-take scene. Right. There's some really good one-take scenes in here.
So I didn't notice that because I'm not a film geek. I watched this. So when I referenced this during A Star Is Born review, I still had lots of hearts in my eyes for this movie because it was River Phoenix's last one.
Yeah,
and as a teenager, totally had a crush on him and Keanu Reeves. and because this is his last movie, I had lots of warm feelings for it. Because he plays like that rogue that you totally want to be with and fall in love with. As an adult going back and watching this, oh, she needs therapy. She should not be dating this man. He's not emotionally available. I was very sad in my teenager self for being attracted to his character.
What is that? Good girls like bad boys. Right. One of these days, someone's gonna answer that question. I haven't really gotten any good answers out of that one, but anyway.
It's the unavailable. It's a challenge. It's a game. You think you can save them?
Yes.
You think you can fix them? You'll be their savior.
Yeah.
It's that whole nurturing thing that they tell women that they should have.
Yeah, that's true. Well, yeah. See, you guys getting psychology and like
and
film studies. You're welcome. So yeah. So at the end of
I still, I still. This is absolutely an airplane movie. Smooth flying.
Yeah. Oh,
it's fantastic.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you get to watch River Phoenix. I mean, he's still nice to look at.
You know, it's weird because I always thought Sneakers was his last role, but this is his last role.
Yeah, this came out in August of '93, and he died in October '93.
Okay, yeah.
So,
yeah, rest in peace. Yeah, we lost a great one.
Also, I mean, I feel like going back to the whole filming of the thing, I feel like he was actually performing his. Well, they were all performing their songs, which is why they didn't. When they were performing the things that they were supposed to have written,
right.
It wasn't good singing. It was just
they were just singing. Like, right? I think that's what made it more like
authentic,
feel real.
Yeah,
they wasn't like trying to go. They were just like belting out how they would belt it out.
Right, but River Phoenix was actually in a band, if I remember correctly, from Teen Beat.
nice.
And so. Holy shit.
I want to check and see if you're
Heidi, come. Heidi, you're going to go outside. Come here.
Sit.
Cool. I always have to finish that. Okay.
Okay. Are we paused or are we still recording?
Well, I'm not going to cut it. It's fine.
Okay. So.
Yes.
I feel like during his performances, like, because there's a couple scenes in the movie where he's actually on stage performing with a band, I think that's part of the reason why I also really liked the movie when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't able to come to Los Angeles and see him perform live.
Mm.
So I was able to see A Thing Called Love.
Nice, which is just as good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So at the, okay, so we kind of like go in and out of like the movie. Okay, so after she comes back, she have that song. She sings the song about, you know, God being a woman. And she gets picked. She makes the cut.
Finally.
Through all of her angst and disappointment and James, like, she had to grow through something to get back, make that song.
Well, she had to have her heart broken and be disappointed before she can write a true country song.
Exactly, because true songs come out of pain.
I mean, I guess that's the moral of the story.
Go through stuff should really make something good. And then at the end of the day, they're all friends, like James, Presley, and who's Dermot?
Dermot's Kyle.
Kyle, right. Yeah. Yep, so they all mend fences. They're all cool, and they all agree to do a song together.
Right.
Yes.
Supposedly.
Yeah, supposedly.
until Kyle and James start beating up each other again.
In the parking lot.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was a cool message. I like how it ended, you know. It ended with all three of these characters, you know, have a respect for one another, and, you know, James Presley didn't work out, but they acknowledged it. Okay, well, we better just, you know, not be an item, you know. And and everyone was cool with it. I like that. I kind of like the fact that everyone acknowledged where they are and respect it. It's like, all right, cool. We're still songwriters, we're still artists. Nothing's gonna stop that. Maybe we all can, you know, do something great with our individual talents. So, I mean, it was a good message to me. I thought it was cool.
I mean, it ended on a positive note, yes.
Yeah, I mean, no one committed suicide.
Right. Sandra went off to Hollywood to become famous.
Yeah.
Which she did.
Sylvester Stallone was like, hey, you want to be in a movie called Demolition Man? And she's like, oh, that's awesome. And then Keanu Reeves like, oh, I seen you in Demolition Man. You want to do Speed? She's like, yeah. Well, I don't know if this happened, but that's what I'm thinking how it went. But so, yeah, that's how it got. Oh, and then she did The Net after that one. Yeah. Okay.
That is what it is.
But yeah, definitely, I give it a smooth flight. Even like when you watch it at home, it's a good film. It's a good solid movie.
Download it on your iPad, iPhone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some sort of device for you to watch it on the plane.
And if you're home, you know, if you have a home theater system, you know, turn it up because there's some actually really good music and good songs.
Yeah. I think this was the first time I actually listened to country music and actually liked it.
Hmm.
Because country music was banned in my house.
In Austin?
On South Padre.
Oh.
My parents were hippies. They didn't listen to country.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Jody Mitchell. Like, Jody Mitchell, like, kind of squeezed in people's houses a little bit. Couple of songs.
Joni Mitchell. Joni Mitchell in my house went a little bit like this. My dad would buy my mom Joni Mitchell records.
Mm-hmm.
My mom would open it and go, oh, you're so sweet. Why the fuck did he buy this for me? And for those of you that couldn't hear that, it was, why the fuck did he buy this for me? I don't like Joni Mitchell.
Yes.
But in my dad's mind, yes, my mom liked Joni Mitchell. She just kept buying records.
So do your dad know this revelation by now?
I don't know, probably.
Oh,
not.
Cool. We got some juicy talk here. So
it's good therapy. We got some
Dr. Phil type situations going on in light of Joni Mitchell albums. Man, we covered the whole gamut with this podcast.
Yes.
Cool. So, yeah, we definitely say see it, watch it. If you've seen it already, watch it again. It was a good. It was a lot of things I picked up the second time watching it that I really enjoyed, and you know that was pretty cool.
And then go listen to some Patti Loveless and Trisha Yearwood and some Don Henley. Don Henley's not country, but Don Henley.
Yeah, but yeah, Don Henley. I mean, it's his throwback. You know, yeah. Just listen to it. It's fine. Cool. So, if you want to...
Oh, find us on the social media things.
Mm-hmm.
We're on Facebook.
Yep.
In Flight Entertainment. And we're on Twitter. I can't remember what that is, but you can find that on our Facebook page.
Exactly.
We don't have Instagram because we don't have anything to take photos of.
Yeah,
we'll
figure it out. Figure it out.
But Yusuf and I have our personal Instagram pages that I'm IslandGirl200, and you can see the animals that were making noise in the background.
And the usual suspects. And some awesome like hiking trails, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
And beach photos.
And beach photos. It's pretty cool.
Sometimes some airport photos.
No, you don't really do that many of those.
I try not to because they all look the same.
But you should, I mean, consider it.
Right. Just start adding that.
Yeah, just take pictures like
the
plane wings from inside. iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, you find us there, download, share, like, rate, like I said, this is our first Throwback Thursday episode. We are going to give you more. This is a new addition to In-Flight Entertainment. We want to keep giving you guys some awesome reviews and some things to go back and look at, you know. If you either didn't see it or you were curious about the movie, but decades flew by and you're like, oh, yeah, that I forgot about that one.
Or if you're like our friend Jen, who apparently didn't watch any movies growing up.
We love you, Jen.
You can listen to this and find out whether or not you should go back and watch those movies.
Exactly. And we are going to make you watch a lot of these movies now because you just need this in your brain.
Right.
So I would say until next time, we bid you fair travels and
peace.